Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
A rate cut break. Well, maybe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The Fed did exactly what everyone thought it was going to do yesterday. It cut interest rates for the seventh time in a row, a quarter point pushing the federal funds rate to 2%. Once that happened, commercial banks cut their prime lending rate. That's the benchmark for millions of consumer and business loans. It's at 5%. For now, the Fed thinks it's done enough to keep an ugly recession at bay, but the door for more cuts is always open. Meanwhile, Wall Street has some other things on its mind. Today, there's a conference in Washington for the security industry's first-ever federal legislative and regulatory conference. Jill Barchet reports.
It's no coincidence 150 financial executives are holding their first conference in the Capitol in the middle of a credit crunch. Richard Hunt is the chief lobbyist at the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association.
We have people come to Washington, D.C. to lobby members of Congress quite often. But this is the first time we've gathered this many people under one roof at one time to go en masse to Capitol Hill.
Wall Street wants more federal help to borrow money and to curb mortgage defaults. But it's worried about increased federal regulation. It's saying that'll make the U.S. uncompetitive. Most of all, though, Wall Street needs to make friends in Washington.
I hate to use the word perfect storm, but our industry is going to be under the perfect storm for a couple of years now.
Hunt says investment tax breaks are high on the agenda, even though they don't expire until 2010. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Stocks lost a little ground after the rate cut yesterday, but it also capped a positive month of April for the market. The Dow dropped nearly 12 points to 12,820. The Nasdaq was down 13 to 2412. The S&P 500 lost 5 points to 1385. A mixed day in Asia. In Europe, gains so far. We learned this week consumer confidence is down, and we're getting numbers all the time about slow retail sales. Today, the Wall Street Journal reports of 36 states that have put out their sales tax revenue figures this year. 21 are showing significant declines. What if your friends and coworkers could go online and access your tax statements? Italians discovered yesterday that's exactly what their government had done. But as Megan Williams reports from Rome, the outrage and the website didn't last long.
Pure folly. That's what everyone from politicians to ordinary citizens called Italy's posting of every taxpayer's financial details on the internet. The move also provoked an onslaught of hits by Italians wanting to know what stars, politicians, and their next-door neighbors pull in. It was supposed to increase transparency in a country renowned for tax evasion. But before the day was through, Italy's privacy regulator shut the site down. Italian tax expert Sally Silvers says posting tax returns was odd, given how hypersensitive Italians are about privacy.
In a typical Italian fashion, the country is going from one extreme to another, which I don't think serves any public purpose.
And it's not likely to be repeated. Incoming Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has said Italians have a right to tax evasion because taxes are too high. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at GrantThornton.com. And by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way.
Citigroup raised $4.5 billion on the stock market yesterday. Analysts say it'll have to raise several billion more. Like many investment banks, Citi borrowed heavily to make lucrative investments during the good times. But losses from the subprime mortgage meltdown eroded Citi's cash cushion. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, the banks are being taught a lesson many investors learned early in the last century.
In the great bull market of the 1920s, investors got giddy on leverage. You could buy $1,000 worth of stock with just $100 of your own money. You borrowed the rest using the stock as collateral.
If it went to $1,100, you actually doubled your own money because your own equity increased from $100 to $200.
That's financial historian Richard Silla. He says the downside is a small drop in the share price could wipe investors out. And the crash of 1929 brought the party abruptly to a halt.
When the market crashed, they had basically lost all of their money. And the government said people should not borrow so much money to buy stock because they might lose it all. And that came in with the New Deal financial reforms.
Today, if I wanted to buy $1,000 in stock, I'd need $500 of my own. But financial institutions are allowed to gamble with a lot more borrowed money than you or I. During the latest boom, they ratcheted up the leverage. By early this year, big brokerage firms like Bear Stearns were borrowing more than $30 for every dollar of their own money. That was fine while the assets in Bear's portfolio traded up. But when prices started falling, Bear's investors and creditors demanded their cash back, and the firm couldn't pay. Bill Gross is managing director of the investment company PIMCO.
It's like having a few beers on the way up. The intoxication feels real good. On the way down, in terms of a hangover, not so good.
Now banks and brokerage firms are trying to dry out. They're taking steps to bring their leverage back down to earth. Anil Kashyap teaches finance at the University of Chicago Business School. He says one way to reduce leverage is to raise capital. The alternative is for banks to shrink their businesses by selling assets like loans and mortgage-backed securities and taking on less risk.
You could have a really big reduction in loan availability, and that's going to mean that some people that essentially are innocent bystanders are going to find that they're not going to be able to get credit for a while.
And that, Kashyap says, could tip the economy into recession. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Send us a note at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.